I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. In this, the year that the United Nations has declared the International Year of Pulses, 2016 will provide a lot of well-needed attention to the environmental, economic, and nutritional value in pulses. A new book, The Power of Pulses, Saving the World with Peas, Beans, Chickpeas, Favas, and Lentils. We see the health benefits in pulses, such as they're high in fiber, vitamin B, and are gluten-free and stabilized blood sugars. As crops, they're self-sustaining and self-fertilizing. They're also an ethical source of a high value of protein and can be grown in this part of the world and in throughout North America. One of the book's authors, Jason, joins me now to talk about pulses. Mr. Jason is the owner of Salt Spring Seeds. The cultivation of beans is an important part of his business, and I'll get him to tell us about pulses and the part they play in his life and diet and the benefits to be had. There are also 50 vegetarian recipes in this book, which is co-written with Hilary Malone and Allison Malone Ethorn, who had a hit with sea salt recipes from the West Coast Galley. Dan's previous books include the Whole Organic Food Book and Saving Seeds as If Our Lives Depended on It. The website for more is at saltspringseeds.com. The book is published by Douglas and McIntyre. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program on Salt Spring Island today, Dan Jason. Mr. Jason, good morning.
Hi there. You did a great job of summing everything up pretty quickly there. That was great.
Well, we'll expand on some of these themes. And I found the book, other than being gorgeous and well-designed and well-photographed, quite informative into what pulses are. I guess, do people ask you why the word pulses?
People often ask that, yeah, and I don't know where it originally came from, but somewhere along the line it got to mean the edible seeds of the legumes. Mm. So there's lots of legumes that don't have seeds in pods that are edible, but the main ones are chickpeas, favas, lentils, dried peas, and beans. Those are the main crops in Canada and most of North America.
And so there is a difference when I read the book in terms of what one can eat. Well, I guess some of them you can eat the shells, some of them you can't. Some you have to wait until they're dried. Some you can eat right off the vine, if you will.
Right. Well, that's the important distinction. The word pulse refers to eating them after they've dried, as a dry seed. They're simultaneously seeds and food. So if you're eating the peas as a shelling pea, it's technically not a pulse then, but if you let them dry down and you cook them up as a dry bean, then it is a pulse.
So when the United Nations designates it as the International Year of Pulses, what does that mean for people like yourself who deal in pulses as your business, but more than that, who have believed in it for years?
Well, it's a big deal, a really big deal, and there must have been some very powerful lobbying to get the UN to declare it as such. And for me, it was pretty amazing being a seed company. You know, I've been trying to, like right from the beginning, 30 years I've been doing Salt Spring Seeds, and I've been promoting pulses all the way along. In fact, I don't even list my seeds alphabetically. I put all the pulses first, and I have been forever. Mm-hmm. But this year, all of a sudden, everybody's ordering chickpeas and favas and lentils, and this was before my book came out, and before it was probably because of that UN International Year of the Pulses name.
Yeah, and you notice this in newspapers and on television, the sort of recipes come out and highlight just how important they are. But what I found interesting was how they're grown, and that's something that you're keenly aware of. When you say in the book that they have a light ecological footprint, what does that mean so that we can visualize that in terms of, I mean, does that mean the space that they grow in, the amount of water they need, the work that one has to do in terms of cultivating them?
It means all those, but there's something even more radical, and that's they almost epitomize renewable energy. Because just by simply growing, they increase the fertility of the soil. And that's because of their ability to fix nitrogen. And just, they basically have a soil association with the nitrogen in the air. They can pluck the nitrogen out. There's little things that are called nodules on the roots that are kind of little manufacturing hubs for nitrogen. And so if you grow any of them in the same spot in succeeding years, your yields get more and more. And almost any other crop takes a lot out of the soil. And, you know, if you're looking at dairy and meat, it's just a huge amount of energy to grow that. It takes like 2,500 gallons to do one hamburger, 2,500 gallons of water. But with these crops, they're just, they're so beneficial to the soil with little effort. Like you said, they don't take much water. They don't really take much maintenance. It's mostly about planting them and harvesting them.
Yeah, so with some, like if I have had vegetables in the gardens, some people, I guess they lay fallow the land for a bit, but I guess you don't have to do that with pulses, do you?
No.
You keep going and going, and as you said, they get better every year?
It's remarkable, yeah. I've seen that with all my years of growing these. It's astounding to see yields increase, sometimes double after 1 year, sometimes after 2 years, triple.
And Salt Spring, that's an ideal place in terms of the climate and the weather that one gets there every year?
Well, on the coast here, these crops can be easily grown, but really it's a prairie crop. And most people don't know that Canada has become the world's biggest exporter of pulses. The thing is, though, that Canadians hardly eat them. Over 90% of all of these pulses that are grown are sent to countries all around the world that love and appreciate them and have had them as part of their culture for thousands of years, but not us. So one of the things that I'm trying to do in the book is just to tell Canadians to grow them if they can, but certainly eat them and encourage their grocery stores to carry them. And
So where does the 90% go? That goes to other countries, I guess, right?
It goes to places like the Middle East and China and India and Europe and a lot of different countries around the world.
Yeah, so where I live here in Vancouver, I could grow pulses in my garden?
You could, but you'd want to be selective. Depending on how big your garden is, you know, some of these would be inappropriate because you'd want to have a 50-foot row or something. Mm. So it would make more sense to grow the ones that climb, and you can utilize vertical space like the climbing peas and the climbing beans. And a lot of people do grow those all over Vancouver, especially East Vancouver. Practically every backyard has beans growing up, trellises and peas.
Yeah, a lot of people listening to this who might live in apartments are wondering what pulses they can grow on their balconies. I mean, are there things that they can grow?
Not really. No, they could, but that doesn't make sense on that small a scale.
Mm.
You're better off doing your parsley and your oregano rather than your beans.
Yeah.
If you're talking about pots.
What do you do in terms of say birds or other critters that might be interested in whatever you're growing throughout the year? I mean, are there things that keep them away perhaps?
Well, there's a section in the book about strategies to avoid them getting munched before they get going. And the simplest thing is just to start them in 4-inch pots and let them get a good jump on any birds or rodents that might be interested.
Mm.
Once they're on their way, after the first 4 weeks or so, they're fine. But it's just in the early stages when they're just sprouting that they're so vulnerable to all kinds of everybody wants to chow down on them.
Yeah. We'll talk about the benefits of pulses in terms of health-wise in a sec, but I guess the real thing of concern that people are thinking about is flatulence. I mean, people associate beans and I guess pulses in general with farting. Is how do you deal with that?
Aha, that is I won't go through a long story about it, but basically, people in North America aren't used to eating relatively fresh dried beans. The stuff that we get in our stores is really tired, old fare, and the beans that are normally bought have been sitting in house for a long time and aging and oxidizing, and that's why they're so hard to digest. And around the world, where people know to eat dried beans in a year or so, then those people don't get flatulence, and it's not only that, they cook up much faster, too, and they don't have to be soaked.
Yeah, I guess in the book you talk about just a tip. I mean, if you say you buy a pulse at a store, when you take it home, there are ways to cut down on the part that would say promote flatulence.
Yeah, a couple of rinses help, but on the whole, if you can find in your store ones that have a good vibrant color, those are likely to be way better. They get much duller as they age. And the way our economics works, even though Canada exports all these zillions of beans everywhere, the stuff that you find in our stores comes from Turkey or India. And, you know, it's crazy. We should be supporting our own farmers, but the people who buy beans tend to get stuff that comes from far away.
Dan, what's the turnaround in terms of, say, planting something and then harvesting it? Because, I mean, there is the drying process as well. How long does that all take usually?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it does take a little bit longer. You know, if you're getting peas, for example, shelling peas, it will take you 3 months. But if you want them to dry down, it's going to be another 3-4 weeks. So often it's about four full months before you get them totally dried down.
And is that generally the same for other pulses like other beans, lentils, chickpeas?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and for you and the folks at Salt Spring Seeds, is that, do you do that year round? So 4 times a year, say?
No. There's a growing season for each of them. Like peas are, everybody's planting peas now. Normal time is mid March, and then you're harvesting your peas middle of July, and you could maybe have another planting of peas and be successful, but for the most part, all these crops are a once-only thing each year.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So in terms of the benefits of pulses, because, I mean, a lot of people are turned off because of flatulence, but, I mean, the benefits are quite clear. I mean, fiber, for one, I guess, at its most basic, it's a great source of that.
Yeah, and like you said at the beginning, they're super high in vitamins, minerals, and protein. In actual fact, they're a wonderful combination of all these things, and probably one of our best foods going. And not only that, they're so cheap. They cost maybe one-fifth what you're going to be paying for dairy and meat products.
Yeah, and I guess we some of us also hear when they are superfoods like that, it's like vegetables in general, right? I mean, we all know vegetables are good for us, but we generally prefer the junk if we had the choice. So how do you turn people? Well, I guess you'd turn people around with just how delicious the recipes in the book look, right?
Yeah, they are. There's some great recipes in there, and one of the things that's important is to let people realize that there's such diversity in these pulses. Lots of different tastes and textures, lots of different ways of preparing them, and it's time we explored them like we do for every other kind of food and beverage. You know, we know so much about coffees and beers and wines and meats and cheeses, but we don't know beans about beans.
Yeah, there's a great recipe in the book, I guess this is yours, Dan's Endless Salad Bowl.
Aha, uh-huh. Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, and there's
a few of my own recipes in there, but these two women who did the recipes, they're awesome. They came up with really easy-to-follow recipes with easy-to-find ingredients. Really impressed me.
Yeah, even me, who is not resourceful in the kitchen, looked at the recipes. And you know, these are things that I could make myself. But Dan's Endless Salad Bowl, that's something that you have regularly, is it?
Often enough, yeah, maybe once a week or something like that.
Yeah, and even, I guess you could grow most of this stuff yourself, right?
I do.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So the pulses in it are sprouted chickpeas, lentils, peas, fava shoots, and I guess the other beans, you would pre-cook those, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian, Dan, or...?
I'm mostly a vegetarian, but I like to eat fish once in a while.
I see, yeah. I guess a lot of us on the coast like seafood, so that it's hard to pass up.
It is. Nothing like yummy salmon.
Yeah. The effects of climate change, I mean, I guess you see that in terms of your business, don't you? In terms of how pulses are affected by that, but on the other side, just how pulses can save the world.
Well, in the context of climate change, it's pretty interesting because, yeah, they're really hardy and they can stand the climate change more than most other crops. But the fact that southern Canada is warming up quite considerably, and even if it's just a few degrees, that's a lot. And that means that probably we'll be able to be growing all these pulses in a much more extended crop area. You know? A lot of them will be able to be grown where they haven't been able to be grown before until now.
Yeah.
Possible there.
Yeah, and in terms of just feeding the rest of the world, I mean, that's something that we've learned a great deal about ever since this UN designation came up. A lot of people subsist on this, and I guess we in this part of the world can as well.
Yes, yeah, that's right on.
Yeah. This, you mentioned 30 years of Salt Spring Seeds. It's just grown, hasn't it?
Well, I'm so thrilled by how many people are wanting to empower themselves by growing their own food these days. And what's most exciting for me is to see and hear about all the schools that are starting to have gardens and all the school libraries that are having seed libraries. And all the seed libraries that are popping up in communities across Canada and really all across North America. So that, yeah, all of a sudden, when I say all of a sudden, it's just within the past couple of years, there's a seed consciousness that's rising, and it's great for me because I've always been about just turning people on to growing their own.
And how does the seed business work? I mean, can people go to your site and order, like, say, some of the pulses that are featured in this book?
Totally. That's what I'm all about, yeah.
Yeah.
And I encourage them to save their own seed because it's easy to do.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Let's say I buy a packet of seeds from you for whatever pulse I want to grow in my garden. Is keeping the seed for say, next year, is that a difficult thing to do, or...?
It's the most easy thing imaginable because the seed and the food are exactly the same thing. If you have your lentils or... That could be the seed. If you don't eat all your beans, you could plant some.
Yeah. Yeah. And how much do you... Like, I don't know, in terms of your stock or your variety. Do you have a number in terms of how many different kinds of seeds one can get from your firm?
Oh, yeah. We have hundreds of different pulses.
Yeah, and are they all grown, say, from on Salt Spring there, or?
They are, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great time to talk about pulses, and I appreciate your time today, Dan. Thanks for this.
Oh, I enjoyed it too. Thanks a lot.
The website for more is saltspringseeds.com. The book is called The Power of Pulses, Saving the World with Peas, Beans, Chickpeas, Favas, and Lentils. It's from Douglas and McIntyre. One of its authors, Dan Jason, joined me on the line from Salt Spring Island in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.